Hello.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Today we're going to go over our vision for the East Side. So just bear with us as we go through some stuff here. First off, the East Side came out over 10 years ago, planted this CT. This is what it is right here. And I think that before we go to look at what the future holds, it's important to really celebrate the past here. So our call as a church, the mission of the church, is in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I cut out 18, but don't worry about it. We'll go to 19 here. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So here we know the mission of the church is to take out the message of God's free grace, that to have a relationship with God, all you need to do is ask, that Jesus Christ came down and lived a perfect life, and he died for each one of us, so through his death, we could have a relationship with God. That is the mission of the church, is to take this message out, to represent to a world who God is. So I wanted to share with you guys something really exciting, that since you guys have planted this CT, over 90 people have made this decision. Yes, absolutely. That is an incredible number. This is the church living out its mission. So you guys should feel proud about the work that God has done through this East Side. I wanted to add in some more numbers here only because me and my husband and a couple of our people are here today. We're sent out over 10 years ago to Newark, Ohio to plant a group out there. And since we have combined, I'm going to add our numbers in there as well. And so together, more than 150 people have met Christ out east. Yes. There is a party in heaven for sure over all of these people. So I just wanted to encourage you guys with that, that this group here is living out its mission that God has called us to. It's very, very exciting. Some other things as well is that there are many families in the area here who have been served through this ministry. We just heard about a bake sale. It's a good time when you can help people by eating treats. That's my favorite thing. But all that money is going to serve the community. And that, again, is a light to the people out here of just how wonderful God is. So that's an amazing, amazing thing going on out here. Also, people are serving in legal clinics, bush groups, which are just pop-up Bible studies, other groups, retirement homes. You know, it's something where we come together and we see a certain number of people, but what we don't see is all the other ministries that people are involved in and how this group here, their reach is way farther than just the Sunday morning meeting. So I think it's really important to remember that this is way bigger than just how many people come on Sunday morning. So through that, I think you guys should be proud to be part of the East Side Ministry. I think this group was planted with a mission. I think that this mission has been carried out, and I think that God will continue to carry out this mission out here on the East Side. So much has been done through the East Side. Much God can and will still do in the future. So at this point, I wanted to go through the different areas of ministry that we are involved in here, some you may not be aware of. And I'm a chart maker, so it's a little bit of a chart here, so bear with me. But first off, I want to break it down. So first, we have our Oasis. I know I have kids. You've probably seen them running around, hopefully not destroying anything. But yeah, so I have kids in our Oasis program here. And so one of the new initiatives that I would like to start this year is we have seen some pop-up VBS camps next summer, is the plan, working with Xenos' student ministry. So we have had a couple of missions trips to places like Dayton, Ohio or West Virginia, where our high school students actually throw a VBS. And they usually partner with a local church, and at the end of the week, they are able to hook up the parents of those kids and the kids into a local church. So I have talked to a couple of these people and I said, why not do it at the East Side? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And I have kind of tracked a lot of these missions trips and these VBS camps. And it's usually like they get like 40 kids who meet Christ. A lot of people end up going to those churches. And they're very successful because usually kids are very receptive to spiritual things. So I'm going to work with a lot of our student ministries for the summer. We're going to do this out East. Now, if you're thinking, I'm tired, what's this lady saying? A lot of this will be run by students themselves. We're going to partner with some of the high school groups out this way that are going to do all the hard labor because they have the energy, right? And some of the ways that we can support is at the end of the week, we are going to pitch some of the parents on checking out the East Side. So I'm very, very excited about this one. A lot of very excited young people ready to go. So talking to some of our Oasis people, we do have some current needs in Oasis. If you feel like God is calling you to this, you know, certain areas, please come talk to me. Kurt has been running the music for kids for a long time. He's doing a great job, and just getting him some support would be good, someone else that's able to do music with the kids. And also, come springtime, consider volunteering to work in one of the Oasis classrooms. Hopefully, we will get to see some more kids come out and hear about God through this ministry. And with that, we need people who are willing to invest in the future of our children. And my kids are in there too, so you know I understand how important it is to have people invest in children. So I'm sure you guys all do too. Okay, so that's our Oasis. So for middle school, I had a group come out last week, CIA, that is now part of our East Side ministry. I work with Jess Cleary, which is Tony and Joyce's son. I've been working with him to kind of help them grow that group out there. This group is going to split into two. Right now it's middle school, high school, which if you know those ages, they're a little bit different. So we're going to actually very soon split them into two different. We're going to have a high school group and a middle school group, which is really, really exciting. But they may be in and out of here. You might see them. Maybe some of your kids go to CIA. So we're going to throw our prayer support behind these guys. Also, I wanted to recognize that TJ and Courtney Plants have started a junior high group. There's some really cool things going on over there as well. Again, those are one of those things that we might not, you know, see every week what's going on there, but they have taken the initiative to start, I call it a bush group. It's just a pop-up Bible study, a Bible study with some junior high kids. So it's really exciting. So for high school, yep. I just stole their picture from last week. This is them. They meet in the Clary's house. But so soon we will have a high school group. The goal is to be able to keep people out East. Obviously, some people will absolutely go into main campus because there's OSU and there's a wonderful ministry going on there. Some people may decide to stay out East, and we want to offer them some places to go out here as well. Okay. Also, me and my husband and Patrick and Kayla, we lead a college group in Newark, Ohio, which we get students from OSU Newark, Melbourne. Sorry, she's over there. OSU Newark, we get Denison students and stuff that we have a college group that meets in Joe and I's house. And so that's another part that as we have combined with you guys as part of our ministry, now part of our ministry. A lot of these people are interested in leading, you know, like learning, taking classes, wanting to disciple others. You know, it's kind of the age where you're making a lot of big life decisions, and a lot of them are really interested in learning how to lead and be workers for God, which is really exciting. Okay, so that's a lot of the student stuff, you know. Let's talk about adult group stuff. So one of the things that I and Joe are trying to do now is that the church main campus is very excited about helping us get younger couples to come out East. So we came from the college ministry. We still do college work. I love college work. And a lot of the people that we, you know, met with, studied with, helped train into leadership are at that stage where they're starting to have families, and they are getting pitched by the church. Why don't you go come out East? Which is really, really exciting. So I wanted to let you guys know that, you know, our main campus is very supportive of what we're doing here. They're going to throw, you know, help into, you know, one of my one of the coaches, soon to be elder, like he was the one pitching them on coming out. So it's like we have the support of the church with getting some of these younger couples to come out east. All, you know, I really want you guys to think about is working with some of these student groups. A lot of them have parent nights. I know there's a home church that meets at the Kelly's house. And a lot of times you get connections to, oh, I have a parent and stuff like that. So there might be times when your home church or other will have times where you can have a parent night with a student group. Go to those, try to get connections. I'll try to make sure that the student groups know about our home churches out east and stuff so we can work together as a unit to win people out east. Also want to throw out there that I'm sure you guys have met my parents. They're very friendly. But they also lead a Bush group, so we have a Friday night Bible study that's also included in our ministry, which is really, really exciting. So that's a little bit of the plan for this next year. I like to try new things. I also realize that not everything will work, but I oftentimes feel like failure can be our greatest coach. And with God behind us, I'm not sure that taking a step of faith is failure. So we're going to try some new initiatives, and I think it's going to be very exciting. So with that, January 1st, 2019, which was weird to type, I almost put 2018, our church at large is transitioning. Our senior pastors are retiring. We have new senior pastors stepping up. We have a lot of new young elders that are getting nominated. And so at that point, the church is going through a transition. And I wanted to point out that we will too. Absolutely. We're going to try new things. That's that. I also, as I was reflecting, I was like, I'm not even sure you guys have much interaction with our elders. You know, there's some new people that are nominated and stuff that people are like, I don't even know who Josh Benedim is, you know, and I think that's fair because you guys are out here. So we're going to have some occasional elders come teach. Brett McCallum has offered to come teach first of the year. He's having a baby, so it's not going to be right away. But yeah, so we're going to kind of get you in contact with some of the people that lead our church. So that will be exciting to have a couple subs come in and see how that goes. Another new thing, don't get too upset. We are going to attempt to do music. As I was thinking about this, I was looking at the scriptures, and I have a couple verses just to consider before I give you my pitch here. So here's a few verses. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. So, singing is in there. And Ephesians 5:19, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts. As I was thinking about this, I realized that, you know, and this is one thing that I really love about Xenos, is music is not the only form of worship. We preach your whole life is worship. Now, I don't want to swing the other way and go back to the way, you know, other churches do it, where it's like it's a performance, it's about the emotional experience. I don't want any of that. I want to do it our way, which is that it is a spiritual form of worship. It is going to be totally optional. We are going to offer it before the meeting starts. So if you personally feel like I can't be a part of that, just come at normal time. If you have people that you're like will not like it, bring them at normal time. This is something that, again, I wouldn't want to force. I want to do it well. I want to have the music be good music. And so this is something we're going to try. With these initiatives, again, there are things that I'm like, I'm not completely married to it forever, but I'd like to see how it goes. So in the way that I would like to pitch you guys on it is that, you know, be open-minded. If you don't like it, that is completely fine. It's completely optional. No one's going to force you to sing. You can come at normal time. Or if you want to, you know, come sit and listen to the music, that's fine too. But I wanted to offer it only because it is a form of spiritual worship, and it just feels kind of strange to me not to have a way to do that. So we'll try it. We're going to start by doing some Christmas music. I feel like that's pretty inoffensive for December. See, and we'll see how it goes. So again, not something that will be forever, just to see how it goes. So with that, if you are interested in serving through music, you know, we're going to see if we can get some. I've talked to a lot of you privately, and I know a lot of you love music, and I know a lot of you are musicians. So if you are interested in serving this way, please let me know. We want to do good quality music. We don't want to, you know, halfway commit to it, and it's just average. So, okay, there's my pitch for that. So with CT too, you know, we're doing some new stuff. We just want you to think about the first of the year, recommit to coming to this meeting. I'm very, very excited about what God has for the future of this East Side. I think there are a lot of really cool things that have happened, are going to happen. And yeah, just to, you know, say like, I'm going to make this a priority. I think you'll be excited to see what God has for us. So I'm passing it over to Jill.
Am I on? I'm on. Okay. Sweet. Yeah. Just to reemphasize, I suppose, that point, we know we definitely affirm that the work done out here has definitely borne fruit. You know, we're excited about that. We, you know, bear witness to that. I think the reason that we need this to be emphasized is that, you know, we've been doing work like this, trying to start something new, like what this East Side is trying to do. And when you do work like that, starting from the ground level, it can be very, very frustrating and demoralizing. Maybe you look around week to week and you feel like, are we moving though? I mean, are we bearing fruit? Because it can seem like, I don't know. I mean, this seems to me like maybe we're just in a holding pattern. Sometimes a holding pattern, though, is the progress. I mean, sometimes the Lord might need to solidify before we get to, you know, kind of have those advancements. Some of the groups that we've done have actually been harmed by growing too fast, too quickly, and it's just, yeah, it's not always, be careful what you wish for, I guess, with just having boundless growth. It's good to have in the Lord's timing and not necessarily outside of that. The future of this group, we feel like, is it kind of a tipping point. Having been out 10 years, if we were sitting here in another 10 years and it was roughly the same crowd who is here now, I imagine that most of the leaders would probably be difficult to talk into. Oh, now let's go start a new initiative. You know what I mean? We've been literally at this for 20 years. So I think that it probably seems like it is time. I mean, there have been stars seem to be aligning to kind of push forward that, you know, there have been all of these intersecting lines. Some of the other ministries that we've talked about coming a part of this sphere, that maybe we could have a cradle to grave ministry that could start to take shape out here. Some of the things that some of you guys have talked about, like maybe finally getting a building of our own and things like that, perhaps that's around the corner. I mean, we are not going to be able to get a building of our own until we do start to get some of that forward momentum. Although I think if I were to bet, and I am, I suppose, in a sense, betting, you know, we moved out here. We, you know, are completely, you know, dedicated to this work out here out east. And if I were to bet, I would bet that we will see this kind of thing happening sooner rather than later. I want to tell a story from years ago regarding God moving our church out east. Some of you may remember if you were at a servant team meeting like 10 and a half years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago, but one of the elders, Tom Dixon, was talking about starting a group potentially in the newer Granville area. It was an adult ministry group, and he shared a couple of stories from the Bible, which I feel like are especially powerful and especially relevant. So I wanted to share these two stories from the Bible about showing initiative, because this is an initiative. I mean, doing a group out here, starting something where there was not one before, is an initiative. It is something that, you know, we put ourselves out here to do. I mean, general statements we get from the Bible about going out and, you know, making new disciples and going out throughout the whole earth. Sure, we know that that, generally speaking, is here. We can't turn to the verse where it was like, in the year this and that, then Xenos must send a group to wherever. You know what I mean? We don't have something as concrete as that. So it requires people showing initiative. And that can be scary because you don't get the promise that, oh, yes, and once you do this, it will be here for all time until the Lord returns. You know, like, maybe, maybe not. And the maybe not is scary, because if you've ever been in a group, and I feel like we may be going for the record in the work that we do, if you've shut down a group, and I've shut down a lot, it's hard. It is very difficult. And God forbid this happen here. I don't believe it will. I mean, like I say, I'm betting with my feet, so to speak, that it will not. But if it does, it is very difficult. And that's part of the cost of showing initiative, is that you're putting yourself out there potentially for God to really bless you, or potentially for the reversal, which can be very difficult. So to that end, let's look at these stories. This one, I started up a little bit here. The Philistines greatly outnumber the Israelites. This is Saul had recently become king, and here Jonathan, his son, is talking to his armor bearer, like, look, the Philistine camp's over there. There's more of them, but we're God's people. And so he kind of gives him this pep talk that says, Jonathan and his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. So this word here, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. So he does not have the promise. Sometimes you do read the Lord will be like, yes, go against Jericho, I give them into your hands, etc., etc. This is not one of these times. He's sort of like, we've seen the Lord deliver. We know who he is. And that's, you know, getting affirmed here. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now, if you read the rest of the story, and I'm not going to have it, they did kind of work out a thing like, we'll try a little bit. And if God's behind us, that'll become clear, and then we'll keep going. And if that's the case, then we'll, you know, fight on, and we'll put everything in it. On the other hand, if we try a little bit and things are not working and God's not in it, then we won't waste our time, basically. So that's kind of the model that was given there. But the fact is that this started at the initiative of just a person who felt like, generally speaking, we know who God is, we know who God's people are, and taking a step like this in faith, even though maybe we weren't directly commanded to, is the kind of thing that God tends to bless. And I think taking initiative like that, doing something as we are doing something here, is the kind of thing that God will bless. Here's another story. It's a bit different, but it has some similar themes in Daniel. This is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are sort of told, all right, bow down to the giant statue of gold that Nebuchadnezzar has made, and I'll just pick it up here in 3:15. It says, now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Oh, because they did not bow down. That's why they're saying this. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. So here you kind of have this statement like, you know what? We're taking this stand, and you know, God that we believe in is real, and he'll save us from your hand. But I also point out, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So these are two pictures of initiative, I think, that we have in the Bible. It's good. I mean, it is something that we are given these stories for a reason, that this is sort of the model that we're given so that we can look to it when we are considering, will we take an initiative in faith and try to follow and, start something with the Lord's help. You don't get the promise that it will work out, but taking a stand because we know who God is, we're never going to regret. Certainly not. Even if we don't find them making a movie about all of our efforts one day. Although you never know what they watch in heaven, so maybe. But, that could be something that I guarantee you we will not regret if we are willing to step out and put some very real risk into it. I mean, the end result of these is that showing spiritual initiative based on God's character can lead to miraculous outcome. I mean, Aaron and I, we, you know, if I should probably explain, because, I mean, not everyone here necessarily knows us in the ministry that we do. But over the last 10 and a half years, in addition to starting the group in Newark, we start other groups outside of 270, just Bible studies, usually from scratch. Usually it'll be, here's a group of friends, or here's the family, or here's whomever that have some people. They want to do a Bible study, but they don't have people who can teach the Bible. And so maybe we ourselves will go, or sometimes we will put them in touch with some people who can teach the Bible for them and help to get these groups started. The rules sort of apply differently to starting a group from scratch than they do for an established home church. If you've ever had the pleasure of doing both, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, when you have your home church that's been there for a long time and you step in the room, we count up the number of years that everybody has been following God in here. I don't even know what group all of you are in. I guarantee you it's over 100 years, because they all are like that. You step into one of these brand new groups, maybe it adds up to like 12 years. And so you're like, all right, this is different. This is the Wild West. I mean, this, anything could happen out here. I mean, we call for prayer before the meeting and literally nobody prays. That's the kind of thing that you're in for. You know what I mean? So, it's different, but in these groups, we will reach a point sometimes where we get stuck. And maybe that's sometimes we get stuck because we can't really get control of the ethos of the group. Yes, there are new people coming. Yes, there are people hearing about the gospel, but we're not in control of this group. We just, they're too sinful and it's too crazy. We can't really turn a corner on this. And, you know, we're stuck in that way. Or sometimes we can't get new people out. We can't tell people about God's forgiveness. It's just the same few people who already received Christ hanging out with each other, and so we're stuck. When we reach this point, you know, I like this passage from Luke, which we'll go ahead and read part of it for you. Unfortunately, with this parable, it's not one of the ones where Jesus then circles back and is like, I know that was confusing, guys. Let me decode it for you. So, you know, you just have to do the best you can. Let's check it out. In Luke 13:6-9, as he told this, or then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of his vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Now, a disclaimer. I did just read this thing, and maybe you are assuming that I'm talking about this sphere as being like, oh, we've been sitting here for years, not fruitful. No, not saying that. I'm talking about the groups that we do that reach this point, not this one. As we said, we strongly affirm that this group has been fruitful. That's one of the reasons why we have, you know, come to join in with this in the first place. But some of the groups that we've worked in reach this point where you're stuck, maybe not bearing fruit, maybe whatever. And it's kind of like, all right, we need to move forward and we're stuck. What do we do? Because, you know, if you're just like, let's just pull the plug, you always haunts you. What if we miss something? Why did God bring us there in the first place? What if we missed whatever it was? And that's a really bad feeling to have, on top of the bad feeling of shutting down any group. So what we do when we have reached this situation, and we've done it probably half a dozen times, is we'll kind of approach a group like, all right, look, here is where we see our group at. We need to move forward. We're not sure how to move forward. We're going to put this into God's hands, try some of these initiatives, like things we described here. If God is with this group, if God is with us, we will see results from that, because this is the God who, you know, we read about as we turn to the Bible. This is how he works. This is how he gets behind people. And once we have that affirmation, it'll be so much easier to continue in our work, to go through the kinds of obstacles, all of the difficulties, all of the setbacks, because we're like, we put this in God's hands. We saw this. Now we know. Very recently, in our Newark group, we did this exact thing. We had this talk with our leadership. We were like, guys, this is the situation. Let's identify a few things here. Let's try this, let's try that, let's try the other. Let's see if God is going to communicate to us on these things. Now, half of our group, fully half of the leaders, were like, nope. They didn't really even wait for the kind of the period of time to see if God was going to come through to end before they said no, but, you know, it is what it is. To work like this, it can be difficult. Like I say, it's not always so easy to endure going through something like that, especially when you feel like it's my fault that the things aren't working so well, which is probably taking a little bit too much. But half of our group is like, no. The other half of our leadership is like, on the contrary, we feel like we have seen God work. Now, our group dropped down to like near zero. Like we were almost completely at the bottom of the trough after we lost half of our leadership team and the people with them. And it did kind of seem like, that's so strange. I swear God was communicating and showing us these things. Why would he do that? And then we bottom out to almost at zero people besides ourselves. But that's when things started to happen over the last 2 years. I know I speak for our leadership team and some of the other people who are here that has been one of the most encouraging, maybe the most encouraging time in my life working for God. To see that not only did we rebound and start to get more people back, but we were able to overcome a barrier that we had never been able to overcome before. We always, with all of the people that we're working with, we want to try to maybe convince them like, okay, sure, you've started a relationship with God. That's amazing. That's a good thing. We're so happy for you. How would you like to start to serve and maybe do some discipling yourself? Maybe get into doing some ministry yourself? And it's usually like, And, you know, it's just like, you know, like, all right, well, some of these people we brought into Columbus, and they waved their wand over them. They're like, yes, God, amazing, everything. You know, you're just like, why does it work when we bring them into Columbus? So we leave the people that stay out here, though, we can never get them to buy into that. What is the deal with that? But we cracked it. We found the Rosetta Stone. It finally happened. For the first time in like 10 and a half years of doing this work, we have a group of people who have bought in. It is, to me, indistinguishable from some of the best groups that I've been in, despite the fact that we didn't come to, like, come to Columbus for your programming, you know what I mean? It wasn't that way. It wasn't, you know, something where we are just sort of this unhealthy offshoot of a Columbus thing, but really completely dependent on Columbus for our spiritual health and for all of our training, for all of our equipment, for all of everything. So we finally did get over that hump, but it took us, you know, kind of putting ourselves out there in a place that was very scary. You know, when we decided that we were going to move out, we were like, we're moving out to a group that is probably a fifth of the size of the group that we're currently leading in. You know what I mean? So that's pretty weird, like, to make a move like this. But I definitely feel like because we made this, because we saw the way that God worked, it is very affirming. I feel like us coming into this East Side sphere as part of that movement that God had for us, because we were not thinking anything about working together with the East Side. It was just one of those things where as God led the sphere and as God led us, our paths crossed. And that started to make a lot of sense. If, though, we try some initiatives out here, suppose, we're looking for God to confirm, to give us a message, and we're like, all right, he's not with us, which is a possibility, just as it was with Jonathan and the armor bearer, just as it was with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And maybe it's like, God says, you know what, actually the time is to move on to something else. Now, again, I'm betting everything I've got that that's not going to go that way. But I acknowledge the possibility. It is always a possibility. Once upon a time, probably around the time that this sphere started, the church had a meeting that maybe some of you are at where they essentially said, we're not sure if Xenos as an entire entity is going to be able to continue to move forward because we've kind of hit a barrier and are getting stuck. So we're going to try some initiatives. We're going to see what's going to happen. And I feel like that was honest. You never really know. You know, all of these movements, to some extent or another, will probably reach a point where they can't get forward. Maybe they reignite. Maybe it starts somewhere else. Maybe it starts in some other way. But you don't have that promise. You have the promise that God is going to bless the church at large, but not us specifically in this specific endeavor. Maybe what God has for us, assuming things didn't work out, is better than what we're thinking about. That, I firmly believe. However, I'm betting it's going to be through this. bet you. I tell my kids this. You better not make a bet with me, because I only make a bet when I already know the outcome. Although this one doesn't count. But so, when things do work out, and we have... Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say something about this. If we show... You know, it's supposed things are like, looks like God's closing up shop. At least we dug that trench. At least we added that fertilizer, and we put it in God's hands and look for his guidance. We can take that with us to wherever it is that we go next. And that, you know, at the end of our lives, when we do come up, you know, to the bema seat judgment, and God is essentially like, what sorts of things, what stewardship did you have with the things that I gave you? We'd be like, we had this thing, and here's what we did. And I feel decent at least about that, not about several dozen other things. But, you know, this thing at least, feel pretty good. And that is something I feel like is important if you are going to be able to move past it. On the other hand, when things do work out, and not only in our Newark group has this happened, but when you dig the trench and fertilizer and you see God is still behind it, the results are truly fantastic in faith building. In a sense, having an experience like that, when you are able to see, wow, I am part of an initiative, a very strategic and important initiative, and we brought it to God like, we need guidance, we need to see what's next, and he answered and came through on that. There's nothing better for your walk than seeing something like that come through. It's happened a few times in some of the groups that we've had, and I mean, even just remembering them really pumps me up and makes me feel excited about taking the next risky step, I suppose, for the Lord, because I feel like, boy, if he comes through, it's just amazing. It's just hitting the lottery, spiritually speaking. One of the things, too, one of the things just here in conclusion that I want to point out is that on the one hand, we definitely thank and are very appreciative of all of what, you know, the main church in Columbus has. I mean, you know, I have lived in that church my entire life and continue to. I mean, I would wear a Xenos jersey if there was such a thing. I mean, I'm rooting for that team. But they also will need groups like this. As much as we feel like we need them, they may come to need us even more than they realize, partly because I will tell you a story of the Atlantic Cod, and I'm sorry if I've told you this like 100 times because I'm obsessed with it, but once upon a time, up in, you know, Canada, I think it was like Newfoundland area and Prince Edward Island, there was this cod fishing bonanza. You're getting Atlantic cod like you couldn't even believe. Now, around the 1950s, when refrigerated trucks started to become a thing, the people in that area were like, oh my gosh, so we don't have to just sell cod in this area. We can sell it all up and down the East Coast. We can sell them all up and down the West Coast. Let's expand our fleet exponentially. We'll just we'll go cod crazy, because obviously there's limitless fish in the sea. We've all seen that. It'll never run out. So, you know, that's what they did. And they started building all these boats, and you can see this graph of like, oh, they're multiplying the cod fish catch every year, getting more amazing. All right, up until a point where it started to be like, ah, and it dropped down to where it had originally been. Now, at that point, some of the people were panicking, and they were like, we need to diversify. We can't just fish the same fishing hole for the same exact fish for all time and assume that that's going to work out. Maybe we'll start fishing for mussels or some of these other things. Where most of the fishing companies were like, nope, there's literally no end to the cod in the sea. Until one day they came out and there was like nothing left. And the Canadian government came in and said, moratorium on fishing cod. It's illegal. You're a poacher if you're fishing for cod now. And that, oh, by the way, that moratorium exists to this day. They are still not allowed to fish for Atlantic cod up in that area because that population was decimated, may never recover. That would be kind of what we're doing in Columbus when we're talking about, we believe in multiplication growth, which we do. And that's biblical. That's awesome. It's great. And we believe that we're going to continue to just find more people, tell them about Christ, and be able to see them come into relationship with God. And we'll multiply our home churches, and we'll multiply our disciples, multiply, 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 and we'll never go outside of Columbus. That is the Atlantic cod, okay? If you believe that we're multiplying and doing all of those things, and that we'll never leave Columbus, it is not a matter of if, but when will we hit saturation? That's why groups like this are so important. I have kids. I want them to be able to see what Xenos has to offer. And Xenos only really works when you have that vitality, when you have the kind of growth that we all had when we came into it. So, I feel like it is vital importance that we do things like this, not just for us, but for all of the church as a whole, being able to see how to do this. They are starting to feel this way too. There are some signs, at least in the college ministry, that maybe some of the earlier signs that saturation is maybe a real thing, that it's actually starting to happen. If you want me to tell you stories about that later, I can. I'm just afraid I'll stand up here all day. But we do want to try some of these new initiatives, like we mentioned. And, you know, with some of that, yeah, they are obviously exerting more work on all of you. We know that you guys have been working extremely hard. We do not have the impression that we're like, blah, here's a group of people. Oh, they're all sitting around doing nothing. No wonder nothing's getting done. Wrong. We don't believe that. We know that you're actually working extremely hard. Overworked in most cases. I mean, we feel like that you guys have been doing as much as you possibly can. And so it's almost, I feel bad saying we're going to try some new initiatives because I know it's going to tax an already overworked workforce. Yes. So, you know, that is something that is difficult. We're going to try it for a time, though, and hopefully we will start to be able to see that God is behind it. Boy, there is nothing that brings the energy quite like seeing, and we know that God is behind us. So hopefully that will supply the energy that we need to be able to get it done. For us, and I mean all of us, including the leadership, we will need to pray for willingness. You know, willingness to try some of these new initiatives for us, willingness to be able to, you know, listen to all of you guys, to be able to, you know, cancel maybe some of the initiatives that we feel like we're going to work or whatever it is. Moving forward, we always want to have that willingness and, you know, a kind of willingness to be able to turn on a dime and go. The kind of willingness that they had to have when they were following around, you know, the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke when they were in the desert. Maybe that pillar of fire and smoke sits here for a month, or maybe tomorrow it moves, and we pack up everything we have on our backs and we leave. You know what I mean? That would have been really frustrating. I want to point that out, that, you know, it's easy to look down your nose at the people in the generation of the Exodus. It's like, oh, why are they always complaining? That would have been pretty frustrating, that at any second, pick up everything you've got and go, because that thing just moved. But we need to have that kind of flexibility. We just do. If we're going to be able to actually move forward in this way, that is what it'll take. We do want to hear from you guys, so if you have any sort of comments, questions, or stories, we can pass around the microphone, but that kind of summarizes our stuffs. Oh, over here.
Okay, thank you, you and your wife both. Loved what I heard this morning. I just want to offer two things I know of as evidence of fruit being born here. Our home church had a Halloween party recently. And three of the high school boys from the group came out, were at the party, and I was talking to them. And they're being discipled, part of the Cleary group, and they're loving it. And and I was really impressed with what I heard from these kids, unsolicited. I mean, they see what they're getting as a great, gracious gift from God, high-quality teaching. They love it. They're all into it. And I was really impressed. You know, some of those kids, well, two of the three anyway, I had some part in Oasis over the years. I felt good about that. And that was, you know, one of the evidences I know of that came to mind as I was listening to you guys about fruit being born here. And also, one other thing I'll add, and this kind of couples with that point you were making about taking steps you're unsure of, that you know, you're not clear on God's intention to use. Sometimes when, Well, the biblical message we can see is that when somebody in our midst is sick, we're told gather the elders of the church and pray for them. And sometimes you might be hesitant to do that because you think, well, if I do that and the person doesn't get better, what does that mean? You know? But I have a good friend who had two forms of cancer, and he was at the James getting chemo, and things were not good. And it occurred to me that we maybe ought to be taking that scripture seriously. And so we did, and we had a prayer session. And 6 months later, his cancer had left. His attending physician had made some comment to the effect of, you know, I can't, you know, this was a non-believer saying, you know, I can't tell you what's happened here, but it appears to be a miracle.
Wow.
Now, I'm not certain that that means there was, in fact, a miracle, but I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt on
that.
Yeah,
no kidding.
And anyway, those are just two things that came to mind for me as I listened here this morning about there is good work getting done all over the place here, and I hope we're all able to, you know, get next to that truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. Cool. Yeah.
I've been reading through the Gospels lately, and I'm at the point where I've been praying a lot this week about what God was teaching me here, because this was Peter was super confident that he would never leave Jesus. He would never forsake him. He's like, hey, all these other schmoes, the other disciples, they can do whatever, but I'll never leave you. And Jesus looks at him, and he says, I doubt it. But he also says that, you know, Satan has asked for permission to sift you like wheat.
Right.
Translation is, changes are coming and they're going to be painful.
Yeah.
And what he says to Peter is, he says, I'm praying two things for you, Peter. Neither of them was that you have no problems.
Yeah.
And neither of them was that you have the strength to endure them. Which is those are the two things I pray for the most. Well, help me to not have this problem, or help me to not have any problems at all, or help me to be able to endure them. And that's, it's not a matter of just sitting through it and taking it like a man.
Yeah.
His prayer was that Peter would be able to resist temptation, which was temptation to quit. And the other thing was that he would be able to strengthen others afterwards. Those are the things that he prayed for Peter. Because things were changing. This ministry that he had going on was awesome. This, obviously, it was Jesus' ministry.
Right.
But things were changing, so because they're going to reach out. They're going to move out of Jerusalem. They're going everywhere. And in order to do that, Peter had to go through some painful lessons. But, oh, my gosh, was he a different man afterwards?
Yeah.
And did he ever strengthen people around him? These are the things that Jesus prayed for through those trials. I think those are awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks so much for sharing that. It's a good reminder. Oh.
Well, I just want to say thank you guys so much. I think this is exciting. I love your vision. I am so on board to just try new things and see how it works. And I feel like you do, Joe. I'm confident. I feel confident that this is going to work. And, you know, I mean, you can look back. We're not a perfect church. And, you know, I've always heard it say, you know, if you find that perfect church, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore, right? But we can certainly give our all. And
yeah.
So I just wanted to say thank you for your vision. And I am 100% behind you, like I'm sure a lot of people are here. So thank you.
I would really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
So is there anything we can do on our end to help the folks in Newark? Like, besides prayer and that sort of thing, is there any kind of support we can swing their way?
That is an excellent question. Boy, I wish I would have thought of something for that. man, I will say this. Just knowing, I suppose, that if you were, or whomever was interested in helping out in some way, if you would get in touch with us, because a lot of times, you know, the distance, the Heron's, what, 35 minutes or whatever to drive here from their place or something, and some of the people that we have in our group would have even a more distant drive. So we don't want to necessarily be like, sure, we'll take advantage. Why don't you come and do this, and you're going to have to make some immense commute? It's, I mean, you know, we do call on people to do that, but usually we only want to talk to people who have already kind of made up in their minds that a distance of that kind of driving is not going to be an issue. I wish I had something more specific at the time, but I will get it back in touch with you.
Okay.
What you said, though, reminded me. Even having this meeting like this, getting all of you guys together, was someone else's idea, and we really want to rely on other people's ideas. You know, this is sort of all of ours. We're the body of Christ, and we want all of your guys' thoughts and input. We can't follow everyone's ideas. There's not the 200 ideas that we came up with, you know, but we want to be able to hear what kinds of burdens that God's been putting on you, especially since most of you have been, at least in this specific group, far longer than we have, and, you know, probably have a much better sense for what's actually going to be helpful. And we want to hear from you guys what it is. It doesn't have to be in this kind of setting. I mean, you know, you can catch us afterwards, send us an email, that sort of thing. Yeah. But we definitely, both of our preferences to lead in a collaborative way. We want to do it in a way that involves people. So
yeah, I just envision that communication is going to be essential in that
yes.
area. So, and also, I just wanted to say how excited I am about this whole thing too. I think it's really good. And you know, there's another saying, not to use all these Christian, what do you call it anyway, but I'd rather do something for the Lord, even if I'm wrong and I make a mistake. But the relationships that I've made out here, the friendships that I've had, those are not mistakes, and they never will be. And it's just something that the Lord has brought us together and to fight side by side to each other and come up and help each other when we can.
Yeah.
So I will never consider what I've done out here a mistake, ever.
Sweet. Thanks, man. Yeah.
You know, it's real tempting, and you brought this up before, as we get older and we get entrenched in the familiar, to just sit back on our laurels. But, you know, one person who would be totally behind what you're doing was Kendall.
Oh, yeah.
And if we really want to honor his memory, one of the ways we can do that is be willing to change, be willing to step forward and do these new initiatives. Because if he were here, he would be saying to you guys, we're totally behind you. So I just thought that needed to be said.
Absolutely. Well said. It actually, that reminds me, so I'm going to say it before I forget it. But when talking to him, when we initially, you know, got together to talk about just this fear in general, and we sort of were like, you know, described to us kind of your history. What do you see? And he described, you know, like, well, we've had a mixed bag. We've had these kinds of things grow. We've had these reversals. We've had things at times look like this. We've had time. You know, at times it looks like that, but we feel like we do have what is a good bridgehead, a good beachhead, I guess, to be able to launch out and to be able to be effective moving forward. And he was very optimistic in the way that you describe, and he was very much like, I mean, he was our biggest advocate, I suppose, as far as like, yes, let's try some new stuff. Yes, let's try to move. Let's try to be nimble. Let's try to have that teachability and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, well, certainly he is, you know, is with us in spirit, and we appreciate so much all of the work and sacrifice that he has given. I mean, you know, this group wouldn't be here without his contribution, so that is a cool thing. But, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think that he for sure was and I suppose is on board with what's going on out here. All right, cool. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and I suppose we'll do it like we normally do at CT, where you can raise a hand if you want to get to Mike to pray, and then we can just hang out here a little bit, and I think our kids are running wild in the gym, so nothing to worry about, but yeah, let's do that.